Well, after singing that hymn, I think we ought to just quit and just remember all that. Isn't that a wonderful thing to know, that we have a risen hope, a Savior that said that he died for our sins, but he didn't stay there. He was buried and he rose again. Amen? Amen. And we have that hope. If you'll take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 78, and as I mentioned when we were reading, you know, when you are asked to do this kind of thing, to speak on behalf of Pastor Chan and so on, you often wonder where to go. What do we talk about? Because he's working in a series, and you don't want to overdo that and all those kind of things. So for some reason, the Lord laid on my heart this psalm again. And it's been one that I have read, and my Bible's all marked up. And so I just want to share some thoughts with you. You notice the title is in your bulletin, is A Crippled Walk. And I doubt any of you wanted to come here to hear me tell you how to have a crippled walk. But the Bible tells us. And knowing that, then we can in turn turn that totally around and have a walk that's victorious. And that's what we're going to look at. So we're looking at a lesson for the present from the past. Now, did you catch that? In other words, Psalm 78 is a lesson from the past, but it's for us today. So as we look at the psalm, I've already read the first 8 verses to you, just to remind you that it says that our fathers told us these things. And so I want you to know, men, that there is a sense of responsibility in which we as dads and as men have in our home to make sure that we're passing on to our children the blessings that God gives to us from day to day. And so, as I mentioned, it's not a sermon just to dads, because all you ladies are here and all your moms are here and everyone else. So it's a message to all of us. It's a message that helps us to understand some neat things I think God wants us to do. You'll notice if you look at your Bible, and I want you to keep your psalm open there, that it has a little tiny, maybe some of your Bibles do, and some of them don't, but there's a little tiny statement that written up on the top in small letters that says a miskel of Asaph. And you scratch your head and say, what in the world does that mean? Well, actually, some of your Bibles will have the word contemplation of Asaph. Well, who's Asaph? Asaph was a minister of music, believe it or not. He was a cymbal player. Okay, so you got some company with playing the cymbals and drums up here. But he was a cymbal player, but also very responsible for the worship for King David. Not of King David, he was helping the worship services. And so this is who wrote this psalm. And the idea, it is a contemplation. It's something to think about. It's kind of a dark saying. And notice it says there in verse 2, I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and have known from where? From our fathers. They have been passed on and on and on, and that's what we're talking about today. So that's what we're looking at. It's a parable. It's a dark saying, if you will, meaning it's basically something from the past. And that's what you want to keep in mind. It's not some mysterious, wonderful thing that's dark in a closet. It's just, that's what it means when it says a dark contemplation, a dark parable that will help us to understand, and our fathers have told us. And I want you to see some things in this particular psalm that maybe you haven't thought about, but I know when I read through this, I think a lot about them again. Because God has done a mighty, mighty work in the fact that we're able to even be here today. And I think sometimes you and I know I do, take so much for granted. And when we do that, we kind of forget. And that's what I want you to see as we look through this psalm. What is it that they want us to understand? What is it God wants you and I to begin to again be reminded of as we look at this passage? And I think there are 3 things. I'll tell you what they are to start with. One of them is remember. The other one's obey. These are words now. If you can just remember. Remember, remember, okay? And then obey and trust. And I think out of this psalm, you'll see that this is what this is all about, to help us see what happened back in the dark ages, if you will, with the people of Israel. And then how does that relate to us today? So the first thing I want you to look at is, and you'll notice we're not going to be going in verse 1, 2, 3, 4, right on down. I want you to turn your eyes over to a passage in verse, chapter, this, yeah, I'll get myself straight here, verse 40. In this chapter. So that's where I want to begin with. And this is kind of a historical psalm, by the way, and so I'm trying to line things up as they happen historically. And the things that you'll see here. Israel, I think, really impacted or crippled, if you will, or affected their walk with God because of something. Look at the verse 40 and see how it opens here. How often they provoked him in the wilderness. Now, who is how they, the people of Israel, the people of Israel, you'll recall. Now, I want you to go back in your Bible knowledge to the time when Israel was going to be delivered out of Egypt in captivity and all the things that went on during this material time. And you'll notice it says how often they provoked him in the wilderness, and they grieved him in the desert, and again they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Now look at the verse in 42. And they did not remember his power the day when he redeemed them from the enemy. Now you remember who the enemy was of Israel. They were in Egypt, they were in captivity, and they were just being burdened down with all the things that were going on. And here's where we see that they did not remember his power in the midst of all of that. Now look what happens. Look at some of the things. Just scan down the verses with me. Look at some of the things they forgot. Now again, I'm depending on you knowing a little bit about your Bible, remembering where they are at this particular point in time. They were getting ready to leave Egypt. And you recall some of the things that took place before they left. Look at verse 43. When he worked his signs in Egypt and his wonders in the fields of Zoan, they turned the rivers. Now, here you go. You can begin to picture some of this history, this dark saying, if you will, the old saying. In verse 44, it said they turned their rivers into blood and their streams that they could not drink and sent swarms of flies. You remember the plagues and all that was going on? To get ready to show Pharaoh that I want my people out of here. And this is what we're looking at. He sent swarms of flies among them and the frogs. And in verse 46, the caterpillars. And then drop down to verse 48. The cattle of the field, or the cattle and the hail that took place that ruined all the crops. Down to verse 49, and by sending angels of destruction among them, he made a path for his anger and did not spare the soul from death, but gave their life to the plagues and all those things that took place. In verse 51, and destroyed all the firstborn. Down in verse 52, and he guided them in the wilderness like a flock, and he led them on to safety. Now, what is this doing? It's just reminding us and reminding these folks when it was written that this is what the Lord has done. They were in a miserable situation in their lives, and God wanted to deliver them. And in order to do that and to show Pharaoh who God was, all these different things that you just looked at took place. But go back up to verse 42. Notice what it says. They did not remember his power and the day when he redeemed them from the enemy. And I'm sitting here reading this and I'm saying, you've got to be kidding me. You mean to tell me that if all these kind of things started taking place and we saw them all, that I would forget them? And yet somehow in the way that they were going in their lives at that time, that's what happened. And this is what greatly concerned God, that these folks were forgetting the works that I'd done. Notice what he said in verse 42, that they did not remember his power the day when he redeemed them from his enemy. And you know, I think maybe you're not there yet, but as we get older, people say, well, I can't remember things. I know when I was in Navigators, when I was teaching our Nav class, we teach them how to memorize Scripture. And there's a procedure you go through how to do this, but I'll tell you what, often I will hear the class people say, well, I don't have good memory. And that's immediately what comes up, and it's kind of a fear that I'm not going to be able to do this because I don't have a good memory. But once they learn a little bit of a system on how to get through a verse and how to do it piece by piece, all of a sudden the verse is there. It's buried down in their heart, and then they do remember. And so, you know, the idea of forgetting or I don't have a good memory is not a good excuse. These folks had no reason to make an excuse like they did. They did not remember. And that's the thing I want us to see. You know, that often we can forget the wonderful things that God has done. Now, I'm sure that you didn't have any experiences like they did. We didn't have the caterpillars that came and wiped out all the things in our land. We didn't have all these flies that came, although sometimes they're a nuisance right now. But every time you get a fly, just think of what Israel went through. all these different things. So maybe your life story isn't as dramatic as this would have been if we were there at that particular time, but there are things that we need to remember in your personal life that God has done for you. I saw this little statement. There was a 22-year-old student about memory. There was a 22-year-old student who gave a demonstration of an outstanding memory by listing 36,000 word gibberish, disconnected, meaningless bunch of double talk. After a single audition, he was able to repeat the entire recital for memory in order, reversed, and with all kinds of different directions, and didn't miss a word. Capable of memory. We have it. Maybe not as good as a 22-year-old can remember a 36,000 message. I mean, I've got my notes up here. I can't remember half of them. You understand what we're saying? We have memories. We can remember. And it's been said that a well-trained memory is one that permits you to forget everything that isn't worth remembering. Well, that was pretty cool. You know, think about it. Our minds get so full that sometimes we forget to think of the things that are worth remembering instead of just sorting like those things. So we have a tendency to do what you see here in this particular passage. The first thing that we need to think about is if we're going to wind up having a walk that's pleasing to God, we've got to be able to go back and see what he's done for us. You know, the very fact that he has given us eternal life through his Son, the Lord Jesus. Do you remember the day when you came to know him as your personal Savior? Remember what kind of a day that was? You remember how many, many times since that day that you sensed the Spirit of God leading your heart to make decisions, to make career choices, to choose your friends and those kind of things? You remember all the ways that God has led you? The Word encourages us, don't forget them. Because to you, they're just as important as all of these things that God did for the people of Israel back in the days when this was all recorded. All these things took place in their lives, and yet they still, somehow, God says, you forgot them all. And because of that, you have impacted your walk with God. And so, get a good handle on your memory. Look at the verses. I've just copied a couple. You know, with all the political situations that are going on in this world today, remember something. Remember this verse of Scripture in Proverbs 21. It says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like a river of water, he'll direct it where he wishes. So when you think of President Trump and Vice President Pence and all the political leaders, just remember something. God has those men right where he wants them. As hard as it is to understand all of that, but that's what the Bible tells us to remember. So that when you hear things going on and you get all churned up inside, just reflect back, you know, I don't like what I see going on, but I know God's got all of this in view, and he knows. And I can be comforted with that. And all the pressures of work, remember what it says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, because what? I'm your God. I'm going to help you. I'll strengthen you. I'll uphold you with my right hand. How many times have you sensed God doing that with you already? That when things were just kind of falling apart, all of a sudden a wonderful sense of knowing God's present in your life, that you're not going to be given more than what you can handle. He's there. And you've been comforted with that. That's what we need to remember. Don't forget those things. Write them down. Put them in a little diary, if you will. Do whatever you can. It's often said a short pencil is better than a short memory. So just write something down when you think about it, or mark something in your Bible so that you can go back at that and just it recalls and helps you to remember something that God has done for you to get you through maybe a situation that you had to deal with. So I think that's the first thing. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. What's the rest of it say? Don't lean on what you understand up here, but in all your ways do what? Acknowledge him. And what's he promised to do? That's what we need to remember, that he's going to direct my path. So that's the first thing, I think. There's a lot of other things you could think about, but just notice that it talks about the importance of remembering. As an illustration of with all that went on in the life of history of Israel, that they could even forget those kind of things. So that's the first thing I want you to see out of this particular psalm. There's a lot of verses to it, but that's the first thing. Remember. Remember what you need to remember. Okay, that's a good way of putting it. Remember the verses of scripture that you've been able to keep in your heart. Oh, you may not be able to say 45 or 60 verses like somebody else might be, but if you have two or three verses that mean something to you, reflect on them, remember them, think about them, and let God use them to lead and help you as you walk with him from day to day. Now, I think the second thing in here, remember I told you the three words, remember, obey, and trust. So the next one's going to be obedience. Look at this psalm and see what it has to say in verses 56 and following. Now remember what the verses just said from verse 40 on down, that they forgot all these wonderful things that the Lord has done. And look how verse 56 starts out. And yet they tested and provoked the Most High God, and they did not keep his testimony, but turned back and acted unfaithfully like their fathers. There's that illustration again. I mean, I didn't put that word there, but listen, dads, it's important to us. We don't want to have anybody accuse us of being what they're just doing here. But turned back and acted, in verse 57, unfaithfully like their fathers. They turned aside like a deceitful bow. And I thought about a deceitful bow. I don't do bow hunting, but I know some of you do, and these real classic compound bows that they have now that it almost can get you into shooting a little dime at a distance. But this kind of a bow, you know, they didn't have manufacturing bows back in those days, and you would get a piece of wood and make the bow and so forth, and the wood could make that thing go different than what you think it'll go. I've seen some folks make these kind of bows, but that's what it's talking about. It's kind of says when you act like a deceitful bow. Now listen to the verse 58, for they provoked him to anger with their high places, and moved him to jealousy with their carved images. When God heard this, he was furious, and he greatly abhorred Israel. Well, now, none of you have made any, I don't see any carved images. I'm not going to go by your house to inspect and see if you have any. But do you remember what they did? Do you remember when Moses was up on a mountain, and for a while he was there, and the people got disturbed? Where is he? He's not coming down. And so they all got together in a big huddle, and they decided they were going to do something. You remember what they did? Took all the jewelry, the gold jewelry and all that kind of stuff, and put it in a fire, and poof, out comes this golden calf. Well, that's bad enough as it is, but they determined that this is the one that has led us from Israel and from the Egyptians. Can you imagine? After all that they've been through, all the things that the Lord did for them to deliver them out of Egypt. And then they're out there in a place where all of a sudden they just got impatient. They didn't want to keep trusting God for some reason or another. And there's no way that we can fully understand their hearts except what we see here. But it made God furious. And you know, they had the Word of God. They had this verse that they could, and they'd already had the Ten Commandments where it says this, you shall not have any other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself carved images, any likeness of anything that is in heaven or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. And the reason is because I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of fathers unto the children of the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. And can you imagine this act of almost hatred that they must have had toward God? What do you bring us out here for? Why is Moses way up there and he's deserted us? And then they decide, well, let's get together and make a God that will lead us. Imagine a golden calf. Wouldn't it be amazing if he came in here this morning and I'd had arranged a golden calf up here and said, you know, God's not going to lead us anymore. We've got to follow this calf. Well, that's what they were doing in a sense, and it made God furious with them. And I thought to myself as I looked at that, you know what? There are times in our lives when we, maybe not as drastic as this is, but we turn our back on God. How do we do that? By not remembering, first of all, some of the things that he's really done, by not recalling that, you know, God's been faithful, and maybe we're going through some tough times. They're going through some difficult times in their lives right at the moment. And where is he? And that's where we have to come back to the point where, whoa, wait a second. Hang on, John. God's there. He's going to keep leading. He'll direct your path. He hasn't left you. See, that's what I have to do. I have to remember that. And then because of that, I want to keep obeying what God has me to do. being obedient to the things he's given us to do. I saw this verse in just a reference. It kind of helped me think a little bit of what ought to be an evidence in my life when things are going tough. When I'm out in the wilderness, as they were, when it seemed like God has deserted me, and he hasn't, but it seems that way. Listen to this. In 1 John chapter 2, it says, "Now by this we know that we know him." Now listen, "if we keep his commandments. He who says, 'I know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly, the love of God is perfected in him. And by this we know that we are his." Isn't that amazing? See, we need to remember things like that. We need to just count that a privilege that God has given to us and remember it so that we can obey. If you don't have anything in your memory, what do you obey? You drive a car. You've got memory stuff going on. Just think of all the memory that just almost comes as a habit. When you're in an emergency situation, what's the first thing you do? You put the brake on or do whatever. You respond. And you just, so this is what we need to do. We have the regulations from God's word that tell us how to live and what we ought to be doing. And those are the things we need to keep remembering. And as we remember them, then we have another step to make. I mean, it's a good thing to have all that stuff in your mind, but what good is it going to do unless, in the way of life, you don't obey them? And that's what was going on with this. God wants us to obey. He wants us to hear his word and to do what he wants us to do. And I believe that's the thing that's going to help us. I wrote down, I saw a little poem, "Blame Me Not," about remembrance. Listen to this. "You call me master and obey me not. You call me light and see me not. You call me the way and walk not. You call me life and desire not. You call me wise and follow me not. You call me fair and love me not. You call me rich and ask me not. You call me eternal and seek me not. You call me gracious and trust me not. You call me noble and serve me not. You call me mighty and honor me not. You call me just and fear me not. If I condemn you, blame me not." See what this getting at? It was just a reminder in another poem that probably came out of something when they were reading something like this. And that's what we need to remember. Remember the truths of God's word, which is the first thing. And once your memory begins to build, whether you're doing scripture memory or you just read through, pastors have been encouraging us to read through the Bible and to memorize verses of scripture, whatever you're doing, to be in the word so you have something to remember, keep doing it. Keep living that way. That's what God wants you to do. And then as you remember all of that, take the next step. Be careful that you're obeying the things that God would have you to do. And then I think the last thing that I see here is sort of at the beginning of this. So turn over to verse 9. The next thing, remember the three words: remember, obey, and the third word was trust. And that's the key I think we see here in the next passage we're going to look at from verse 9 on following. Now notice what it says in verse 9. "The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They did not keep the covenant of God. They refused to walk in his law and forgot his works and his wonders that he had shown them. Marvelous things in verse 12 he did in their sight, and the sight of their fathers, in the land of Egypt," and we've looked at those already. "And he divided the sea," if you recall, all of that that took place, "and the heat stood up in heaps," in verse 14. "In the daytime he led them by the clouds," and what did he do in the nighttime? He led them by fire. But look at verse 17. "But they sinned even more against him by rebelling against the Most High in the wilderness." And he lists some things. They tested God. They wanted more food. You follow the rest of the verses in verse 18. Their food and their fancies they wanted. And then a little down in verse 20, "He struck the rock and water came out." So there was nothing that they had need of that he didn't supply. But look at the two questions at the end of verse 20. "Can he give us bread also? Can he provide meat for his people?" Now remember, this is based on a lot of stuff that they had already forgotten because of probably the troubles they were in. And they're not obeying what God wants them to do, and then they're throwing these questions at God. Can you give us what to eat? Can you give us what we need? And those kind of things he's talking about. And of course, you remember God gave them angel food. And if you think I'm kidding, look at verse 20. He rained down manna on them to eat, and had given them the bread of heaven. Men ate angel food. It's amazing what God has done for them. And yet, notice what it says in verse 17, that they began to rebel against him, showing a complete lack of trust in what he had already done for them. Look at verse 22. For because they did not believe in God, again, they didn't trust and did not trust in his salvation. And yet he commanded the clouds above, and he gave them the bread that they needed. And then drop down to verse 32, and it said, in spite of all that, they still sinned and did not believe in his wondrous works. Therefore, their days he consumed in futility, and their years in fear. And this is the things that God is saying to these people, you dads, if you will, or all of us, if you want to be inclusive in it, these are the kind of things you need to pass on to God, the rough days and the good ones. Let them know how you struggle through some difficult days in your life and how God helped you to obey him and obey the truth and to trust in him. And I think that's the challenge of this message as I read through it. It's just a message that God wanted us to hear, even today. So we're looking way back in the past. A message from the past to guide us in the present is what I'm thinking we're looking at here. And so some of the things I think we need to do in order to be able to walk with God and be the kind of servants that he wants us to be. Just listen to some of these verses I want to share with you. First of all, I want to just remind you to go back to the very beginning of this psalm and notice what it says about the fathers in verse 3, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. I hope that we as men are telling our family the things that they need to hear of how we walk through some difficult times and how we walk through times of blessing and how the Word of God meant something to us in those days that we can pass on. So even though I didn't plan this message with a father in mind, it's right there. It's an obvious warning to all of us as men to be the kind of men that hear and see what God is doing. And it does not make women insignificant just because of the emphasis here at all. This is what we all ought to be doing, is passing on to our children the blessings that God has given us in our lives, even though we've been through some tough times. They need to hear that. They need to hear what you did when you went through some very difficult days and how you obeyed the Word of God, or maybe how you disobeyed and then came back and walked in trust and obedience to what God would have you to do. But just think of it. Remember, be informed. Be a humble thinker. That's what it's going to take. We need to think back, call to memory the things that God has done. Sometimes if you need to, write down a little diary. Some people keep spiritual diaries. As you get older and your mind doesn't remember all those things, it'd be a neat thing to do. Maybe I need to give heed my own instruction. So check up on me a couple of months from now. See if I'm doing what I should be doing. That's just one way of doing it. But just make sure that we are doing what God wants us to do. Don't forget what he's done for you. You may not think it's significant enough, but you share things with your children and with other believers and friends that you walk around with, things that you remember that God has done for you and how you obeyed him and how that trust really kept you going. It kept you from being crippled, if you will, as a believer and handicapped. Second thing, obey. Make sure that you develop a will to obey. And that's going to be tough in some places. You'll be mocked. You'll be ridiculed. You'll be made to feel foolish because you're wanting to stick fast to the Word of God as he is teaching you. But do it. Do it. And then tell your children and tell your friends how God is leading you to do things that maybe are so contrary to what the rest of the world is doing. And help them to see why you're doing it. I think one of the neat things in Navigators is another thing that we learn to do, and it's a hand illustration about how to get to a point where you're remembering the Word of God. And it says, first of all, you need to hear it. And that's what you're doing today. You're not listening. You're hearing my words, but these are words based on this truth. So we're hearing the Word of God. That's the first thing. And then you take it a step further. You read. Don't just depend on the message you hear this morning or the messages of the past. Remember some of them, but go back into the Scripture. read them, understand a little bit more maybe than what you catch on here at this service. I mean, this is just a quick review of a, 70-some verses of Scripture. There's no way you can remember all that, but sit down and read it and think it through and see how it applies to your life. And then the next thing you know, just study it. After you read it, study it, think about it, meditate on it, memorize stuff. That's a way to keep your memory going. And then you have something worthy of obeying and being obedient to. And then the last thing, remember, obey, and trust. You got the three words? And that's what that psalm is all about. You want to trust. You want to develop this personal, deep sense of trust that this is what I'm going to live by. His word, his truth. And if you live by anything else, you're in trouble. And you can see what happened to them when they decided to turn away from what they already knew. And it was, God got furious with these people. And he may get furious with us. He may cause some things to take place in my life because of my disobedience that I don't want at all. So don't underestimate what may happen in your life as you walk in disobedience, as you walk in a way that you're not trusting what God would have you to do. And so just do everything you can to trust in the Lord. Look at verses 7 and 8. And with that, I will just make you think some over the thoughts. Look what it says in verse 7. That they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and that may not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not set its heart aright and whose spirit was not faithful to God. And I trust that perhaps just by looking through this psalm that it'll help you as it does me. Just remind me as a pastor, as a dad, as a husband, and you gals as wives, mothers, in all of our roles, remember. Remember the word of God. Remember his works. Remember what he's done for you. And then determine in your heart you're going to obey him. And as you do that, you're trusting him. And so it all kind of works together. We're going to be singing a hymn as our worship team comes up, and that's a neat hymn, Trust and Obey. When you walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on his way. When you do his good will and abide with him still, and with all who trust and obey, that's what we're going to sing together, and just pray that God will use that to kind of bring conclusion to our message.